Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour and Shalom Chaverim to all our listeners locally on 1220 AM radio or live on the net at whkwradio.com. In either case, we're live. And this is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Missionaries to the lukewarm church, especially in today's deceptive world, Jesus, through his word, must be your priority and passion. He's ours. And tonight, we begin a different book of the Bible, Obadiah. It's a short one, but it explains who the enemies of Israel are today and where they originated. So stay tuned to this. Now, a reminder, you can re-listen to this teaching later this week, as well as other programs, a wealth of biblical information at shofarministries.net. Let's begin, as we always do, with a prayer. Adonai, open our lips tonight so that we can praise you with your word and teach from your word, and open our hearts to understanding your word. And we thank you for your word, and we thank you for keeping us in these good times and staying with us and near us and even in the bad times. And as always, we lift up to you those that have written to us with prayer requests, particularly a missionary husband and wife team who are facing some very difficult decisions right now. And please help them to make the right decision, and also to help the wife, because she's pregnant and she is praying for a successful delivery. And thank you, as always, for your spirit that is present during these broadcasts. And thank you for all our listeners and supporters. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Shalom to all of you, and thank you for joining us live right here tonight. And we are here every Tuesday at 8 p.m., so why not tell a friend about, I guess I would call it a unique program.
Very unique indeed, especially in these last days,
where deception and apostasy in the church is listed more times than any other end-time sign of the times. How does one avoid deception, John?
I think you got to start reading the signs. Well, there's only one way, and the armor of the word to protect your mind. You have to have that. To have the mind of Christ, though, you must spend time with him through the word.
You are so right, and I can't say it any plainer than that.
And we're going to get into the book of Obadiah later, but I got to ask you, what's going on out there in the world today?
We are, of course, seeing the foreshadows of wars and rumors of wars big time. 16 Egyptian troops were killed on their Gaza border just the other day, still investigating who, but some say it could even be Iran, is trying to stir up trouble as the civil war in Syria continues. Assad has to know by now he's going down, but he's still fighting, and now their ally, Iran, is stepping up the rhetoric to try to sway the world's attention toward Iran, because they are calling for war within weeks. Now, you got to remember, they believe there must be chaos for their Mahdi, or their Messiah, to arrive and save them all.
Well, now, isn't that amazing, because that's just what Jesus does at the end of the tribulation, doesn't he?
Yes, isn't it, though?
Mm-hmm.
You think the enemy knows what the book says?
I think he does.
Yeah. Well, their Mahdi that they're looking for, they're really looking for either the Antichrist or at least the false prophet. Anyhow, Assad is going down and the Muslim Brotherhood will be taking over. And they are worse, in my opinion. Just look at the turmoil in Egypt, and Christians are dying, and
it's
really awful. Now, this is something significant, I'd say. Iran is trying to blow up the gas wells Israel found in the Mediterranean, remember, a few months ago?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Iran's trying to blow them up.
Hmm.
Saturday, a Hezbollah terrorist, now remember, Hezbollah is a proxy terrorist group stationed in Lebanon, but being paid by Iran.
Funded by Iran.
Yes.
Yep.
He was caught in just the nick of time, so say God, trying to do just that by planting a bomb in an Israeli El Al flight from Cypriot, which is an island off Greece in the Mediterranean Sea. Now, more warships and submarines have been called to the area, billions and billions of more dollars.
Hmm.
Now, as I reported last week, the Syrian ruler Assad has stoked up the menace by moving out of storage missiles and shells armed with mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, and cyanide that he had stockpiled for years. So who knows what he's going to do. Now, the other thing is we might be in trillions of dollars of debt, but we have a high-tech robotic car on Mars to look for life that we know isn't there. Whatever conclusions they come to, I believe it will more than likely support our God and his account for creation. You know, the moon did by supporting the fact that we have a younger cosmos than they claim due to the fact they discovered only a few inches of dust on it. Remember those tripod legs? They were very long, thinking that the dust was going to be really thick because our cosmos is so old. And it was only a few inches.
Surprise, surprise. Well, it made for an interesting ladder climb for Neil Armstrong, didn't it? If nothing else, maybe they'll see that there's not aliens there at Mars, but what we are experiencing with UFO sightings, they're not Martians. They're just demonics. They're demons.
That's right.
And that's our real enemy.
The Bible says that's our enemy in Ephesians 6.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I believe these demons are behind the mass shootings. Another one this week, and they will continue according to the word. But at the same time, I want to end on a good note. There's another end time sign, and that's the revival that is going on, not in America so much, but in Muslim countries. 200,000 Muslim converts to Christ in just the last 6 years. And that's the reported ones. Many are not telling. But Jesus is appearing to them and as well in the Jewish communities, I understand, especially in Israel. And John, maybe you could tell the story of that 108-year-old, highly respected Israeli rabbi teacher.
Yep, Rabbi Kaduri, who was Israel's chief rabbi for many years. He lived to be 108, and he died about 4 years ago. He had many disciples. And the government consulted with him. Many of the different branches of Judaism, their leaders consulted with him.
He's the chief rabbi.
Chief rabbi, very respected. And he had disciples. And he left a note that he wanted opened and published a year after he died, probably so his family wouldn't be involved in the controversy that he knew the note would cause.
And true, don't they sometimes mourn like
for a year?
3 year. Okay.
You're supposed to speak good of the dead for a year. Then after that, I guess you can really go to town on them. But anyway, so the year passed and they did open this note and they found that he named Jesus as the Messiah.
He actually wrote in the note that they should believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
He didn't actually do it that way, but he put it, this is concerning the Messiah, and if you read it in Hebrew, it was I think we call it an acronym or something like the Tanakh. In other words, if you take every letter of the first word, it spells out Jesus. So that was just, it was amazing. Then later it was found that some of his disciples started coming forward and saying, yes, he was teaching that Jesus was the Messiah for years.
Well, you know, when I was, the last time I was over in Israel in particular, I heard that there was quite a few Jewish people staying undercover that had accepted Jesus as their Messiah.
Yeah, isn't that cool? But the thing I forgot to say, too, is the reason he did believe Jesus is the Messiah, because he had a vision of him, like Paul did.
Right.
Isn't that cool? That gives me goosebumps.
Well, shouldn't we all have that?
Yeah.
I wish that for a lot of people.
I do, too. Well, anyway, we should get into our study now, the book of Obadiah. We should start with, what does this name mean? That's always a good place to start.
Well, it is a good place to start, and it means worshiper or servant of Yahweh. Now, it is the shortest book of the Bible.
I thought Jude was the shortest, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
No. Obadiah only has 21 verses. Jude has a couple more than that.
Wow.
But contains a lot of information not seen in other writings or other prophets, and it really underscores the justice of God. Now, most scholars agree Obadiah wrote around the same time that the Babylonians were attacking Jerusalem, and probably was not one that was taken captive. But you remember a few were left in Jerusalem to maintain what was left? And I think maybe even Jeremiah was left, wasn't he?
I know some, not all of them went into
right, went
to Babylon.
But here's the deal. Put yourself now in their place for a moment to try to understand how they felt and what they thought as they were watching so many being slaughtered, as the city of Jerusalem burned and eventually the temple destroyed. So over on the sidelines now, while this is all going on, these Edomites, the enemies of Israel, are joyfully celebrating their demise, shouting, "Raise it! Raise it!" while watching the little children being dashed against the stones. "Wipe them all out," they'd scream. Not a one would help.
Well, Sheila, how do you know it was that bad? Because that's pretty bad. How do you know that?
Well, Scripture does tell us that, and then we have historians that confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
But David prophesied it would happen in Psalm 137. Could you read verses 7 through 9 for the people?
Mm-hmm. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed.
Remember, that's Revelation 17 and 18 confirms that as well.
Wow. And then, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock.
Wow. So, but, and this was written before. Yes, this happened.
Before it happened.
Besides this, it was the Edomites who would not allow the Israelites to pass through Edom after they left Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall that?
So yes, in their exodus, and they wanted to get to the Holy Land. They were told they couldn't pass through there.
That's right. So instead, they had to travel many more miles.
They offered to pay them, too.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
But all they wanted to do was to get to Canaan.
Right.
You can read about it in Numbers 20.
So we won't drink your water. We won't let the cattle graze in your fields. We'll even pay you. We just want to pass through.
Yeah.
And
the Edomites said no. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But here's another an interesting scripture in Deuteronomy 23. Could you read verse 7?
Okay. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother.
Wow.
And you shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land.
What is also interesting, and why I wanted you to read that, is because even after Joshua conquered the land of Canaan, they allowed the Edomites to stay at their current borders. Even today, Israel is willing to compromise a lot for peace. They are very kind to their enemies, even hospitalizing them and getting them well when injured.
Right, and the only time they act is when either they've been acted upon, or they highly suspect that someone is planning their annihilation, as in a nuclear bomb someday.
That's right.
Knocking on the door right now, as a matter of fact. So.
That's right. When it comes to the possibility of their annihilation, then they try to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And they will preempt. They did it in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And they did it in Syria once before. Do you remember that a few years ago?
Yes, they have.
And I believe they're getting ready to do something again.
Yeah, I think they are, too.
At least they're sure talking about it. And again, we have to be careful because the Bible says there'll be rumors of wars. Every single day I hear a story about somebody's going to go to war, and then it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Well, I thought that little border incident might have escalated into something. The border of Egypt.
In Gaza.
In Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. Well, the thing about it is, they started blaming that on Israel.
Yeah, they said it was the IDF that did that.
But now they know it wasn't. So it was either Iran or maybe even Al-Qaeda.
Somebody that's stirring up trouble.
That's right. But, all right, let's go back to the beginning, many years ago, to Genesis 25, to see the struggle, or one could call it warfare, in the womb. We'll pick it up after verse 20. After Isaac, Abraham's son of promise, takes his wife Rebekah and then pleads to God for a son, much like her mother-in-law Sarah did.
Only this time, Rebekah waited on God.
That's right. Yes, and she did become pregnant with twins.
Mm-hmm.
So could you read verse 22?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.
So that's what the Lord told her.
Well, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
And then came true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to point out, and this is for all you meat eaters out there especially, the word for peoples in this verse only is the word leom, L-E-O-M, number 3816, and it's only used in this verse, nowhere else in the Bible that I could find.
Hmm.
Everywhere else for the word people is am, and that's 5971.
Well, why do you suppose that is?
Well, I looked it up, and the word actually means, for people, distinct from each other, totally opposite groups.
Okay, so these are actually two nations almost coming from.
Correct.
Two ethnic.
Two different, distinct.
Distinct, wow.
Groups of people.
Hmm.
And then you don't see this word used anywhere else. It's just pretty amazing to me.
Glad you looked it up.
I am. I always do.
That's your job. Yeah. That's why you get the big bucks.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
What are the names, John, of Rebecca's twins?
Of course, Jacob and Esau.
Do you remember what Jacob's name means?
It was something like heel catcher and conniver.
Yes, mm-hmm. But it also means God protects. Now, do you think that Jacob was a bit of a conniver?
Well, a little bit. He acted in concert with his mother to steal Esau's birthright by deceiving his dad.
Yeah, even though they really knew Esau could care less about his birthright. And later, Jacob did some conniving. I don't know if you remember over the goat situation when he left his father-in-law, Laban.
Yeah, well, not that Jacob didn't deserve his take, because he had certainly worked for Laban very hard for at least 21 years. But we can catch up on that. You can, listener, by reading Genesis 30 and 31.
Yeah, it's quite a story.
Those two chapters, it's quite a story, is right.
Quite a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're sitting out there thinking, well, what book should I read, and you're just getting started or you're a new believer, I got to tell you, the Old Testament is full of some really good novel-type stories, only they're true.
Yeah.
But it reads like a novel, and it's just enjoyable.
Yes, it is enjoyable.
Yeah, especially Genesis.
Some of the subjects that the Bible covers in the Old Testament would probably be censored.
I know.
Even by today's standards, would have to be censored a little bit.
That's right. And that's why it really tells you the Bible is truth, because he doesn't mince words at all. He tells exactly everything, good and bad.
Good and bad. Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, Esau represented unrighteousness and evil. And Jacob represented righteousness and goodness. And it was from his descendants that would come the Messiah. Hmm. Now, Scripture does say God hated Esau. That's always been very difficult for me. But we know it's because of what would come from him. His descendants would hurt the apple of God's eye all down through history.
Well, Esau was very rich when he met Jacob on that road. And I know that if God hates you and blesses you without those kind of riches, being hated by God isn't too bad either. Mm-hmm. You know, but we're loved by God because we're saved and we know him personally.
Right.
Didn't Esau and Jacob eventually make peace, though?
Yes. You can read that in Genesis 33. But not his descendants. And, of course, they're still today the enemies of Israel. And we're going to look at that when we come back from a very short break and a wonderful song. And before that, can you say a few words?
Yeah, I'd like to just remind our listeners that your donations are tax-deductible, and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our website, or just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well if you have one, or regular mail if you don't. And by the way, that's Burton, Ohio. Be sure to check out the webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived, and you may order teaching DVDs as well. The lines are now open. The numbers for your end time question, 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after the song Someday.
Someday.
vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make a ton of money flipping houses right here in Cleveland? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple two-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. Hi, my name is Than Merrill, and I'm the star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Cleveland area who want to learn how to make $10,000 to $40,000 per deal in your spare time without using any of your own money. Cleveland is a perfect market for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you can learn how to make a lot of money flipping houses in your spare time.
Interested candidates can get two free tickets to the workshop by calling 1-800-645-3092. Seating is extremely limited, so call right now to get your two free tickets at 1-800-645-3092. 3092. That's 1-800-645-3092.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-914-2995 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-914-2995. 1-800-914-2995. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Someday I will. Heavenly Father,
welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was a hot song. That was Los Lobos.
Gosh.
And you thought they were just a band that shows up at the Chicago Blues Festival every year.
No, actually, I didn't know that either.
Okay.
All I know is that saxophone is wonderful. And just, yes, we are going home. John, we're the aliens.
I guess we are the aliens.
Yeah, that's what Paul said. We are aliens and sojourners, and we're leaving.
Yeah, this is not our permanent home.
No.
No.
Well, we're coming back.
We're coming back.
But that's going to be like heaven again.
Yeah. Yeah, the little old band from East L.A., Los Lobos. What a beautiful song.
That's just
the song gives me goosebumps.
That's just my heart.
Just a reminder, the phone lines are open for your end time question. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD 9673. That's a toll-free number. Won't cost you a dime. And a reminder, Shofar Ministries Hour is right here every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So, you know, when it's Tuesday and it's like 7:45, you know what to do, right? Why not recommend the program to a friend? Listen with your friend, with your Bible and your pencil and your paper. And if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month at Chesterland Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio, and that starts at 7 p.m. first Friday of every month. And Chesterland Christian Center is located at 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306.
It is, and we have a nice time on that.
We do.
Those days,
we do. Yes,
good group.
Good group we have there. We're not a very large group, but
correct. Well, there's not a very large group of people in the world that want to study the meat of the word, I'm finding out.
Yeah.
We're few and far between.
Should we describe it as remnant size?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So if you're one of those people and been looking for a good study.
Okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of good studies, we left off with Esau and Jacob eventually making peace. And it looks like we got a question here, do we? Do we have a... Oh, okay. We left off with Jacob and Esau making peace. But now the story, what we're going to find out is that Esau's descendants are not at peace with Jacob anymore. And that's, now you, don't you have an overview type of list of Esau's descendants or his downline, if you want to call it that? And you did that a while ago, I remember.
Yes, and I'm going to do it again. I do want to, you're right, we did have a caller, and he did ask a question, and this is the question. The caller asked him, a man said that Jesus showed him that he is going to be married after the millennial kingdom. This question is, are people going to be single or do they have predetermined partners after the millennial kingdom? There will be no marriage after the millennial kingdom. We will be going into eternity at that time.
For us.
Everybody after the millennial kingdom will have their new bodies.
Oh.
Okay, now during the millennial kingdom, there'll be some humans, okay, and yeah, I'm sure that they can get married because they're going to have children. That's
right.
During, okay, and that wouldn't be the bride of Christ, which I'm assuming this person is.
Mm-hmm.
The bride of Christ is going to be taken up home, and that's in heaven, for our honeymoon that lasts 7 years. Now, one of the things that happens there is that we get new resurrected bodies, just like Jesus had when he came after he rose from the dead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we will not be married up in heaven, okay? We're just going to be loving everybody, and we're going to be Jesus' queen, and et cetera. But then back on earth, when we come back, we are going to be stationed in Jerusalem at the throne of Jesus, and we'll be able to commingle and go out to the rest of the earth that has been cleaned up by God and Jesus, I should say. And there will be regular human beings on earth during this time that will last the rest of the 1,000 years.
And they will be getting married.
And they can get married, yes. Mm-hmm. They can and have children. Children will be born and things like that. Now, it's at the end of 1,000 years, though, that things are going to be changed. And we'll have the great white throne judgment of the evil people. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be going to eternity, and there will be no more humans at that point.
And that's what... Yeah, well, that's what I hear referred to as eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happens after the millennial kingdom, that 7,000.
Right. Everyone will have resurrected bodies and that are left after the millennial kingdom.
Okay.
So, no, there won't be marriage after that.
That's really looking down the road.
Well, that is.
Got some plans, maybe. Does he have plans to get married?
Scope. And I'm sure that maybe Jesus was showing him during the millennial kingdom, perhaps, but if he's saved and he's the bride of Christ, he's not going to be here as a human after that anyway.
Oh.
So.
Well, I hope that answers
your question. And I hope that answered your question, and I don't even have a name.
Oh, so. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, listener, for the question. And just remind, I'll ask you again. We've seen now Esau is actually Israel's enemy. Where actually the man Esau and Jacob were made up, and they became friends, and they did make peace. But now the tables turned, and all of Esau's descendants have become
Yes, and
Israel's
let's talk
enemy.
About those descendants.
Okay.
It's actually pretty simple, but as I'm saying it, you've got to pay attention, and I highly recommend that you take notes, because it's very difficult to remember. I could not remember it without my notes. So here we go. All right, Esau's descendants settled in the area of Edom. If you have a map, you look at Edom. It's on the southern bottom of Israel, over across the Dead Sea.
It would be to your right?
If you're looking at the map, it would be to the right, exactly. And it's kind of very south, okay?
Very much south,
it's,
okay.
It's, again, southeast of the Dead Sea, the bottom of the Dead Sea. In an area around Petra, known as Mount Seir, which is very mountainous, by the way. So these are like mountain people.
Mm-hmm.
So because they settled in Edom, they became known as the Edomites. And this often happens when a group settles in an area. They take on the title of where they are settled, sort of like we are American.
Mm-hmm.
I might have Irish descent, but I'm still an American.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So these were the Edomites of Esau descent.
Okay.
Okay? So there we have the first, how should I say it, the first down the line. Is there
or this would be the first generation?
Yeah, I guess.
This would be of
the first
Esau
part
line,
anyway.
The first part of,
right. Okay, so from Esau to the Edomites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Esau did have three wives. One was the daughter of Ishmael, so we can see the intermingling of Israel's enemies as well. So always keep that in mind, that there is, you know, intermingling. But he also had a Hittite wife, Ada, and who bore him a son, and his name was Eliphaz, although you don't probably really need to remember that. But he had wives, but he also had a concubine named Timnah. And they had a son named Amalek. So naturally, his descendants were called the Amalekites, and for some reason, they kept the name Amalekite. So it went from Esau to Edom, and then the Amalekites. And you can read about that in Exodus 17. Actually, you can read where Moses and the Israelites fought the Amalekites. Okay, so it started off right way back then.
Yeah. So now we have Edomites and Amalekites? We have both.
No, now they're called the Amalekites.
Oh, okay, now their name's changed to the Amalekites.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, God said they would eventually be blotted out, but until that time, the Israelites would have war with them forever, from generation to generation, and of course we're seeing that.
Okay.
Now, God told King Saul of Israel to kill all the Amalekites and their king, whose name was Agag.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about that in 1 Samuel 15. So now we have the Amalekites going under the name of their king. They were an Agagite. In other words, their king was Agag, and they started calling themselves the people of Agag, you know, an Agagite.
So they went from Edomites to being called Amalekites, and now to
Agagites.
Agagites.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Saul disobeyed, killing them, and some escaped, causing David to have conflict with them later, and you can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, later, Samuel did kill Agag, but still left others who were known as the Agagites, who would carry on the line and continue to terrorize God's people.
Oh yeah, and of course, Persia's Haman, in the book of Esther, it says he was an Agagite.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he was actually a descendant of
of Esau. Okay.
That's right. So now you're getting this off?
Now I'm getting it. I swear I didn't have it until now.
Yeah, I know. It's you know.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, here's the little twist now.
Okay. Oh, no.
The descendants of Ishmael now, okay, were called the Nabateans. And that was from the son named Naboth. And they decided that they wanted to live in this beautiful area where the descendants of Esau had settled in the area of Edom.
Oh.
And the Nabateans decided, well, we like it. We're going to live there. And they were a little stronger, okay, a little more warrior type. So they attacked the Agagites, who reluctantly fled westward into southern Israel now, back across.
Across the Jordan?
Well, the Jordan's not there.
Oh, Jordan's not. That's
sea.
Right, Dead Sea. Beneath the Dead Sea.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And, of course, then they decided to settle there, south of Judah, basically. And so they decided to name the area Idumea, which just happens to be the Greek word for Edom.
Huh, yeah, interesting. That we see civil war today, Muslims killing other Muslims.
Yes, it's still...
And so when these Agagites or the Nabateans were... I don't think they were Muslim at that time, but they they're still very warlike, and they're still killing each other. And it's
they're distantly related.
And they're distantly related. And it just sounds satanic, you know. It's just...
Well, that's what Satan does. He gets people to kill each other before they get...
Before they get saved.
Before they know the God of Israel.
Yes, that's right.
In those times, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, we see it happening today, the Sunnis against the Shias.
Yeah.
Okay. Saudi Arabia does not like Iran.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Even though they're related.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, getting back to the Idumeans, John, what famous Idumean do we know in the New Testament?
Well, in the New Testament, the famous one, or infamous one, if you want to call him that, is King Herod.
Of course.
And all the Herods, actually.
Were Idumeans.
Idumeans.
Okay.
So, they were actually from Esau.
Yes.
They were
Edomites.
Edomites
were pushed over, as the Agagites they were called then,
over
to the southern Judah, and so they took the Greek word for Edom, which is Idumea.
Okay. Now, this is very strange because Herod was a was the king, right? And he was dealt with Rome, and he actually had in his ancestry Haman?
Yes.
Wow.
As we just read.
Wow.
Now, what's also interesting is that Herod, at the time of Jesus, actually was a proselyte.
Oh, okay.
And, see, the Romans wanted him as their leader. Was he even a high priest or something?
No, they had a high priest, but I think he was an Edomite, too, or an Idumean.
All right. Well, anyway, it was only in his head, of course, and he just did that to please the Jews.
Yeah, and so he could get rich from Rome.
But here's another important piece of information. The Romans then in 70 AD did rename the whole area of Israel, Palestine.
Well, that's where that came from.
So when the Jews left in the diaspora, the Idumeans, who were once the Edomites who had settled in southern Israel, stayed, and so then they took on the name Palestinians. Denoting where they resided, but actually they really belong on the other side.
Jordan. Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, it is, because the Palestinians today that Israel is fighting are still the descendants of Esau that God said they would always fight all the way through history.
Isn't that something?
It is. It really is. Now, again, we know there's intermixing with various factions, but probable that most of the groups that terrorize Israel today could have some blood of Esau.
I think only God knows that for sure who they would be, unless you know somebody that wants to go do a DNA testing.
But I have a feeling that it is. So, but Obadiah now is the prophetic judgment book against the Edomites, and that prophesy the complete destruction of the descendants of Esau. So that's what we're going to study.
So that's why we had all that background.
I had to give that background, okay?
Okay.
And, but they will be destroyed because they've gone against Israel.
That's right. And they won't have the last laugh either.
No. Okay, do you think you could quickly recap that again for our listeners? If you can't, I will help you.
Okay, we start out with Esau, who was Jacob's brother. Okay. From Esau's people settled in Edom and became known as the Edomites. The Edomites were pushed out of there, or was that, or they became the Amalekites somehow because of the king? Or no, I'm wrong. I got Esau to the Edomites. I got that part.
Yeah. The son of Esau actually married a concubine and had a son named Amalek.
Amalek, and that became the Amalekites.
Then they became
Thank
the
you.
Amalekites.
So we've got Esau, Edomites, Amalekites.
Right.
And the king of the Amalekites
was Agag.
Agag.
So then they took on the name Agagites.
Agagites. And that's from whence came Haman.
Haman,
right?
In
the book of Esther.
Was an Agagite.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, I believe the Agagites were pushed into Israel by the Nabataeans, mm-hmm. which
that's
were
right.
descendants of
Ishmael.
And there they became the Idumeans, because that is the Greek name for
Edom. You got it.
Idumeans. And the Idumeans that we know are familiar with, most of us that read the Bible, it would be Herod.
That's right.
And his clan, okay.
So he was a descendant of Esau.
It's descendant of Esau. Okay, now we have Rome in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And Rome names the land of Israel Palestine.
When?
Probably when they took over.
No, it's the diaspora, 70 A.D.
It's 70 A.D.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. So then the land became known as Palestine. So now the people you have left after the diaspora.
Mm-hmm. After the Idumeans stayed there.
The Idumeans stayed there. They're known today as the Palestinians.
They call themselves Palestinians and still do.
And there's, isn't that, yep.
And that's excellent. You did a pretty good
job.
Well,
I tried. You know, this is a
And that's
this,
without
this
notes.
Study.
I just think that was impressive.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. the thing about it is that Israel is friendly to all their enemies if they'll just give them peace.
Mm-hmm.
They can stay there. They can share the water. They can do all those things. They're willing to help them. But they just, because of evil influence from the demons and Satan, mm-hmm. they keep trying to cause problems because Satan's ultimate goal is to destroy the Israelites so that mm-hmm. God's plan will be thwarted.
And bring as many people as he can into hell doing that.
Yeah. Now, why do you suppose that these enemies of Israel listen to satanic influence? Because they don't read the Word of God. And if you don't read the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
you are going to be listening to temptations.
That's right.
I mean, it's just the way it is because you don't have the mind of Christ to stop it. That armor that you need, the helmet.
And that's what makes studying the Word of God so very, very important, especially
very important,
these days.
More than you can even imagine. So.
So, anyway. Before we read from Obadiah, which looks like, well, we may have time to get to it tonight.
I don't think so.
Well, if not, we can always start next week.
I really kind of figured we'd be just doing a long introduction because okay. this is very important information.
Well, there's some other things about the descendants of Esau that you said that you knew about. Could you tell us about those?
Yes. There are some interesting facts I think people would like to know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed how often God bypasses the firstborn for the secondborn?
Oh, yeah.
Or in King David's case, he was actually the eighth son.
He bypassed everybody on that one, didn't he?
Of course, we know it's typology.
Right.
Jesus' number is eight, and so King David is a picture of Jesus, so it stands to reason he would be the eighth son. But besides what we see here in Esau and Jacob, okay, look at Seth and Cain, Shem and Japheth, Isaac and Ishmael, Moses and Aaron, Joseph over Reuben. You see, the firstborn was to be the head of the family and actually received a double portion. But once again, it's a picture, and I'm going to let you tell us what that picture is.
What is the picture of the second one taking
being more important than
more,
the first
one? Well, I think we discussed this before, and it is a type of our spiritual birth that actually is more important than our natural carnal birth.
Absolutely. Because without the spiritual birth, you're going to go to hell.
Exactly. What a big picture.
So it's really important.
It's really important. It's a big picture that was all in the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
And, of course, it's evidence of God's sovereignty and grace. He can do what he wants when he wants to do it.
Oh, yes.
But even Rebecca, while they were still in the womb now, Jacob and Esau, she was given a prophecy that the elder would serve the younger.
Mm-hmm.
David did conquer them at one point, and they were subject to Israel for a while, so that prophecy was fulfilled. We know in 2 Kings 8, the Edomites did not have to serve Israel for about 40 years because they did revolt, but they had an unrighteous king, King Joram, and so they actually won. King Joram had actually married the daughter, if you remember, of Jezebel and King Ahab up in the north. Her name was Athaliah. She was very wicked. But again, you can read all about her in 2 Kings 11.
Yeah, and that's a good history lesson, too. A nation will lose battles under a wicked ruler.
Oh, yes.
You'll lose them.
That's why Israel lost, because of their king.
Yep, and it makes me think of today. How about you?
Oh, yes, very much. I think about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, quite a story, anyhow.
Get that right.
But the Edomites went back and forth for a while, serving and then not serving, servitude. But eventually Assyria took them as a vassal state till they were conquered by Babylon. Anyhow, the prophets have a lot to say about Edom, especially Obadiah. And if you remember last month, we saw it in Joel. But also Jeremiah talks about Edom in chapters 49. You see him in Lamentations and Ezekiel, of course, in chapter 35. But in Obadiah, we're actually going to see the first 16 verses focus on the vengeance on the descendants of Esau for their treatment of Israel. As I said, they're still doing it today, as he predicted.
Well, you know, I've always wondered why Esau is mentioned so much in the Old Testament, and now I know.
Of course. It's the major enemy of Israel
all through history. Wow.
And then we'll see, and again, we're going to start really reading it next week, but we'll see that the book closes with the victory for the descendants of Jacob. So, and I do pray that tonight's lesson, all this background, helped you understand this little book that, by the way, we're definitely going to read next week, maybe all of it. What'd you think so far?
Well, I think that if I did not have this background, that this book would have been very dry.
And that's why a lot of times people will tell me, I don't even know where Obadiah is. No, if you don't know the background, it's not meaningful.
And we started with the definition of his name, what it meant in Hebrew, which is always important with the prophets. And then, of course, you went backwards and went back through to where Esau was born of, Rebekah and Isaac.
And they fought even in the womb.
And they fought in the womb, and the fighting continues until today. So I think that this background was very, very interesting for me because I thought these were separate peoples. I originally thought that Edomites, Amalekites, Agagites, Idumeans were different people. Now see, that's what threw me. And now I've got that in my mind now, they're the same people.
I know.
Now that was huge for me. So, and then of course now these are the Palestinians.
Yes.
Or
they are.
A lot of the Palestinians are related to Esau.
Yeah.
So right. That was a great, that helped me a lot.
Amen. Well, next week we're going to have to close now because we're running out of time. And next week we'll get right into the book and we'll probably finish it.
Promise?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because then we've got the fall feasts to start talking about. We've got Teshuvah and
Elul's right around the corner.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Starting very soon.
And listener, if you have never sincerely made Jesus Lord over your whole life, because maybe you just have that head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, it's very easy. Actually, the Lord Jesus is waiting for you to turn to him. And you can get on your knees right now and just repent. stop doing those sins and turn to God. Turn away from the sin and turn to God.
And you know, you said get on your knees, John, and I really want to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very humble position, and it really helps you to enter in to talk to God in a humbling fashion. And if you can, even just lay prostrate on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that happening in the Bible a lot of times. Because number one, God's going to hear your prayers. These sins that you have are weighing you down. And you've got to commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. That's Jesus, our Savior. Your Savior and our Savior. He's your Savior too. And remember, it's always your choice to choose Him. And that's all, that will make it your decision where you want to spend eternity. Because God doesn't send anyone to hell. As a matter of fact, He doesn't want to either. You decide yourself where your soul goes. And your soul never dies. It's an eternal thing. And it has to go somewhere. And there are only two places, despite what you might have been told. Because we know that because we study the Bible. But with God or with Satan. So you need to decide that tonight. And we pray that you will make the decision.
Well, and that's the truth. The enemy does not want you to believe in Satan, the devil, or hell. And he will constantly say that to your mind. And you will think that it's actually yourself thinking mm-hmm. that. And so it's got to be true. It is not your thoughts. It's from the enemy. Believe mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, I believe it because he's the prince and power of the air, which is he occupies the same space that we do, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
If you have a question for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or maybe have a home group, just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Or just call her at the office. She'll be having a cup of coffee studying the Bible, and she'll answer the phone, too. 440-834-9006. And reminder, we'll be right back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. for the next part. And, I got to remind people about your donations are extremely important. This is a Hebraic roots ministry we think is vital to the church today. And please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on the webpage or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And all donations automatically put you on the newsletter list. So, okay. Well, tonight we're going to leave you, as we always do, with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisah Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
And we just learned that it really means He will do it.
And He will.
And I'm glad you said that tonight, John.
Okay, see you next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Hey, be there.
Well, until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. I didn't say that
Yerushalayim.
Right.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper.
You shall. Not maybe.
Not maybe.
Psalm 122, verse 6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.